60% of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Sort of funky opening music.
It's the elements, man.
The elements.
Earth, wind, and fire. A little bit of fantasy.
Nice, nice, nice. Let's talk about our... Well, let's talk about Are You a Sinner? Ron Johnson, the Rojo Chronicles. They continue right here, and we'll continue taking your phone calls. I got lots of time this hour before a couple of big guests in hour number two. Earl Ingram joining me at 4:20 today, and Bill McCoshin, a Republican strategist slash lobbyist, and, you know, Republican-connected guy. Bill McCoshin, but he comes around, so we appreciate that.
But he seems to have a desire to actually have good governance. He may come at it from a different point of view, but he seems to at least care that there's a government.
I respect Bill McCoshin, especially because he comes on the Devil's Advocates. He's co-deviling later in this big show. Less respect due for U.S. Senator Ron Johnson. Daniel Bice, over at the Journal Sentinel, great state of Wisconsin, publishes this headline today. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson blames LBJ and the Great Society for high percentage of out-of-wedlock births. And really what he's complaining about is the high percentage of black out-of-wedlock births. He'll kind of get to that later, but I'd like to share this article with you. As Bice writes, if U.S. Senator Ron Johnson made a New Year's resolution to take a more measured approach when discussing public policy, it didn't take him long to break it. Because the state's most polarizing politician is already back to offering his often wild and controversial takes on things in 2022. Ron Johnson, who last year advised using mouthwash to combat COVID-19, now is labeling...
Why not gargle?
Oh, let's not forget he also labeled Social Security a Ponzi scheme, but he's been doing that for years. And he already roped God into his bizarre take on vaccines. And again... questioned the seriousness of last year's Capitol riots. Now he's taking on a new topic, out of wedlock births. And who's to blame for the rate of unmarried childbearing in the U.S.? Former President Lyndon Baines Johnson, the architect of the Great Society. LBJ, of course, died nearly 50 years ago. Here's the quote from Rojo, appeared on the Lou Dobbs podcast, The Great America Show. America. That's how you say it. Great America show.
You know, when I think of, you know, people who have the pulse on what's going on, and especially in the poverty-stricken areas of the country, it's definitely Lou Dobbs and Ron Johnson. That's who I think of.
Yeah, those guys, they got their finger on the pulse. Here's what Rojo had to say to Lou. You know, we had a booming economy, and people were lifting themselves out of poverty in the 1960s. But then we instituted the Great Society programs. The Great Society was an alphabet soup of social and anti-poverty programs that Johnson, a Democrat, LBJ that is, pushed through Congress in the 1960s. They included food stamps, Medicare, Medicaid, Head Start, federal education funding, housing assistance, and increased welfare spending. But Johnson, the Wisconsin senator, not the former president, said the programs did little to eliminate poverty. Here's his quote to Lou Dobbs, though. But you know what skyrocketed? Out of wedlock birth rates. Back in the mid-60s, probably on average, somewhere between 5 and 10% of births were out of wedlock. Now, nationally, we're over 40%. Johnson, a devotee of libertarian writer Ayn Rand, wasn't done giving his take on the Great Society. Here's more quotes from Rojo. Why aren't we looking at that? And, gee, what caused that? You know... could it be the Great Society programs that made it possible for, you know, single motherhood that actually discouraged fathers from being present in the home because you don't get benefits then? You have to look at the cause and effect of those things as opposed to just the intentions. But as is pointed out by the journalist here, correlation does not mean causation.
Yeah, the Beatles were making a lot of music at that time. Maybe they were encouraging the baby making. I don't know. I'm suspicious.
If it were only that simple, as Bice writes, yes, 40% of all births were to unwed mothers in 2019, the latest year for which data is available, according to the Center for Disease Control. So we track unwed birth rates, but we can't track handgun deaths?
Yeah. And by the way, my daughter's an unread birth rate because we're not technically married. Oh my goodness. What will ever happen? She's grown up in a fine home. Great.
The percentage is actually down slightly from its high in 2009, and it's been largely flat for a decade. And it's true, the percentage of children born out of wedlock is way up from the 1960s, shortly before the Great Society proposals were enacted. The figure was only 5% back then. But just because there has been a rapid increase in unwed births since LBJ launched his war on poverty doesn't mean the two are connected. Correlation does not mean causation, according to Timothy Smeeting, professor of economics and public affairs at UW-Madison. In other words, if two variables run parallel historically, it doesn't mean the one is causing the other. A number of factors have contributed to the rise in out-of-wedlock births, he said. There has been a rise in cohabitation. Yeah, living in sin like Fancy Brian does.
Yeah.
More permissive sexual mores. I wish that were true. A decline in shotgun weddings. Easier divorce laws. A drop in manufacturing jobs for males without college degrees. And greater financial independence for women. And that's just for starters. The good thing, he said, is the decline in teenage pregnancies around the country. Yeah, I got a couple of teenagers. I like the decline in teenage pregnancies. He said more and more parents are thinking about what they're doing and making better choices. Can you attribute it to the Great Society programs? Schmieding asked. No. That was his answer. No, the professor said no. One other mistake Johnson is making is conflating welfare with Johnson's Great Society. One of the largest welfare programs, such as aid to families with dependent children, was created under then-president FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, in the 1930s. Yeah, not a historian, Rojo. Douglas J. Besharov, a public policy professor at the University of Maryland, said the Wisconsin senator may be focusing on the Great Society because black families were not allowed on most federal welfare programs before the 1950s and 60s. You know, before the black people were eligible for welfare. That's what you meant to say, right, Rojo? Some southern states, for instance, didn't permit families to receive welfare benefits during picking season, effectively kicking blacks off the welfare rolls. In addition, Besharov said a number of states enacted so-called man-in-the-house rules, which disqualified families from receiving welfare benefits if there was an adult male present in the household. He said this ended up discouraging female welfare recipients from seeking to get married. So in short, there may be some basis for what Johnson is saying. But Besharov said, in truth, many other factors have driven up the percentage of out-of-wedlock births over the past 60 years, ranging from changing attitudes about marriage and sex to misuse of contraceptives that lead to unplanned pregnancies. What I'm really trying to say to you is there's loads of reasons. Oh, Johnson's always got loads. As it turns out, this isn't exactly a new issue for Johnson. In 1997, Johnson, who has assets between $16 and $78 million, set up a trust for his three children. According to a 2016 story at Salon.com, most of the document is boilerplate, the trust for the kids. But under the section labeled termination of benefits, how do you get kicked out of the trust if you're one of Rojo's kids? Well, I will share with you. It's really quite informative. Johnson and his wife said their children could be cut off from receiving their share of the trust if they engaged in criminal behavior, such as two unrelated felonies or had more than one child without being married. And here's a quote from the Salon author, you know, back when the story was first written. As it reads, it seems that his kids are allowed one felony or one child after wedlock, and after that, they're cut off. Well, there's no way to know how big Johnson's trust is. Odds are it's huge. He's a very wealthy man, after all. Second felony will get you booted off the trust, kid.
Nothing says just care and love of the family than figuring out a way to write them out of your will in case otherwise. Basically, locking them to behaviors that you want just so that you can lock them out of their will if they misbehave.
I appreciate the fact, though, it is somewhat thoughtful in this regard. You can have multiple felonies if they're related felonies, you know.
Oh, so if they're related. Have so, the, so if they.
A plethora of related felonies, that would be one felony, you know, under the rules of the trust. But you get a second unrelated felony. Oh, man, you're cut off.
Oh, well, that's a Johnson family legacy. That's a Johnson family tradition is if you're going to do it, go big. You know, if you're gonna commit a felony, commit several along the same chain. That way, you can still be part of the will. And same with John. If you're gonna lie, lie big time. Go in and just all out lie. You know, it's important.
And Rojo ain't raising no baby mamas, right?
What? I don't think he's raising. I don't know that if anybody who has a personal relationship with their kids would write that stuff into their will. But maybe I'm just crazy.
Do you remember when Rojo incorporated his grandkid in his re-electoral campaign? Had the it kind of reminded me of the Steele dossier in that Rojo got peed on in the commercial.
Good for him.
A urine stream. You know, he's changing a diaper. It's all good grandfathers do, apparently. And the grandkid peed on him. And I asked him after the campaign, I think he, you know, told the truth. Simulated urine. It was a fake golden shower.
Oh, he couldn't even. It's hard to get a baby to do that on cue. That's a logistical nightmare.
I hope that child was legitimate.
Oh, if it wasn't, that kid's getting written right out of the will.
If the Johnson children are related to the grandpa, albinism.
Oh yeah, yeah. If they're frigid at birth, that's pretty much a good sign for the Johnson family.
844-967.
Being White Walkers and all, that's what you want.
2-7-8-9-8-4-4-9-6-PARTY. Welcome back, Jack from Merrimack. How you doing, Jack?
Hey, just fine. It's been a while. I was out in South Dakota with my illegitimate grandchild.
Oh, no kidding. I've got a father, but I am the illegitimate spawn, apparently, of a summer of love fling.
Well, I'm not a father either, but... My stepdaughter was getting to that age, and she decided that she definitely wanted to have kids. She got a partner that she thought was good and solid. Turned out it wasn't, but in any case, she has a 3-year-old at this point.
That's interesting, Jack. Any lessons there for our good Senator Ron Johnson? If she has the second one, Jack, are you cutting her off from the family trust?
No, and as a matter of fact, Johnson won't cut him off either. If let's say they're a serial bank robber or a serial murderer, I mean, they could still get that trust, apparently.
Well, as long as they're related felonies, Jack. It's only when you start committing crimes of a different stripe that it becomes problematic, or, of course, have babies out of wedlock.
Yeah. I did want to say something, being at ML King Day, and that is about, I've been out of the loop for a while, and I read a couple of things. The first thing I read was about wonderful Kyrsten Sinema, who talked about her quote-unquote Democrat colleague. That's just, you know, I mean, she's just a Republican. That's the way they refer to the Democratic Party.
Yeah, when you start adopting the vocabulary of your opponents and use it in a derisive way towards your own party, Jack, I think we see which side her bread's buttered on.
Yep. The other thing is that I read about is apparently last Friday, a judge in Waukesha, home of your new radio station, which is really great, by the way, when I'm in West Dallas, which I've got a home there, too. I listen to that station. It's absolutely wonderful to be able to get you back locally again without having to fiddle with it.
Jack, we'll have to update the people on the judge in Waukesha who said what? Can't use absentee ballot drop boxes and set policy for the entire state, even though he comes from one Republican county that's getting bluer all the time. Come back, more Devils. In a